Hey everyone, today we're talking with Jordan and Carmen Smith of Flint and Feather Properties. They're a husband and wife team that does high quality home flipping in the Rock Hill, South Carolina area, and we've been following them from the very beginning, and we have been so impressed with their journey and the quality work that they do that we had to have them on the show. So we hope you enjoyed this conversation with Jordan and Carmen, and please forgive us at the end. Our boys do join the episode and it's a little dicey, but they're professionals and we all hung in there. Take care, guys.
Cyberstalking you before. As she said, sorry, I was cyberstalking your wife and lost track of time.
We've been on since like for 20 minutes, just in case you guys popped on early, because kids, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't follow her because I didn't have an Instagram. It was only the professional one.
Sure.
And so I'm like, let me open a, you know, and oh my gosh, I like love your Instagram.
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
I'm like, I get it. Yes. Like, you know. Like, you guys really do like really good work. Like,
thank you so much.
And it's rare, but like, that's our whole thing too. Like, quality should never be sacrificed. And like, we love Concord. And like what you guys are doing in Rock Hill, we want to see more of that here, you know, where we are. Because it's such a gem. And just to, like you said, you know, like pouring into community. Mm-hmm. And the finished result is just so nice. Like it's just, but you guys focus on the things you need to be focusing on.
Sure.
Do you want to hit record?
It is.
Oh, okay, cool. And so that's why I was like, we have to have them on because we bought a flip.
Great.
No.
No,
it's
great.
Fine. No, it's we got a great deal, but yeah.
It could have been worse.
I think sometimes people, I don't think sometimes, I know sometimes people kind of like watch shows and think the editing doesn't exist, and so it's just snap of a finger, and they hire whomever, and so in our case, we love our home. It's like it literally checked all the boxes I had prayed for, like. I was like, you know, God totally gave us this house because I was like, I want something that reminds me of Savannah, that is open floor, mid-century, modernized a bit. Like, I want something in the 50s because I want, like, this architecture.
With
I want
basement.
A basement. Like, I'm, like, you know, going
girl,
off.
Like, the laundry list that you had.
I know. And I don't know. And this was before we were in real estate. I knew not a thing about anything. So, like, I didn't realize how, like, of a list this was. And when we found this house, there was nothing listed except that it was in revised condition. They didn't even mention the basement. Like, and so it was like a nice, no pictures. And so we came and saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is everything I've been praying for. And it was great. And it was under budget. So it was even better.
Yeah. When did you guys move here?
4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
From Charlotte.
Yeah, we moved. Okay. Yeah. We moved back to, we moved back to Rock Hill in 2017. I'm Rock Hill born and raised and then was off for a little bit living near the coast of South Carolina, about an hour inland in Florence. And then we got married and started having babies and then moved back in 2017. So.
Is that a little one there?
That is a little one, yeah.
She's so chill.
I can't decide whether it would be better to lay her down and keep her quiet. I'm afraid she's like starting to talk and coo.
Oh,
and stuff.
It's okay. It's beautiful sounds.
If I can hold her, I think
yeah.
Perfectly fine.
Our sons have entered the episodes every now and then because they wake up and it's like, all right, just come on.
Love it.
Yeah. So we've had to do a lot of work because the person who flipped our home didn't take the time to hire like quality people. And I think she didn't mean to go in cutting corners. Sure. I think they didn't tell her, you know what I mean? And she didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And so we've had to redo a lot. But we love it. So
good.
Yeah.
Well, at least you guys know what to look for. Right. Whereas the average person doesn't has no idea. Right. So they come in and buy the house because it looks like you wanted it to look, but then they have no idea once these things start happening.
Right.
That, you know, they're like, oh no, what did we get ourselves into? Right. And so that's where for us, I think we wanted to, you know, we're creating a brand and we're creating a business, that's going to have a reputation and it's going to have brand recognition. And we're trying to do this for the long haul. And so we knew, you know, on the front end, we could cut a few corners, right? Like I mean, literally, I remember having a conversation with Josh, my business partner, and he was like, man, we could put a tanked hot water heater in this house and it would save us some money. Mm-hmm. But like in 10 years from now, I think tank hot water heaters are going to be obsolete. And so why would we ever set somebody up to age out of something when we can just bite the bullet on the front end and go ahead and put a tankless on the back of the house and do it the right way? And I'm like, yeah, man, that's what we want to be known for, is like, we're not going to cut corners. We're not, you know, we're going to be forward thinking in the things that we do for the home. And then we'll make it look pretty on top of that.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. But we don't want to just do the bare minimum and then it'd be like smoke and mirrors. Right. So,
right. Exactly. Exactly. I think that's the common thing. That's the, to expect when you buy a flip type thing. What we've come to expect anyway, because with what he does, and that's why I was thankful that you were in the process. You know what I mean? Because I was just like, I at one point I was like 100% willing to walk away, because I was like, this is just a laundry list and it's getting bigger. But thank God for, you know, Andrew knowing who he knows and like getting everything taken care of, very fairly. But I'm like, that could have been done on the front end. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that's what I super appreciate about you guys, is you have integrity and you actually care about rebuilding Rock Hill.
Yeah.
You know, and that is everything. And, you know, shoot.
Yeah. I love that you put that water shut off in the closet.
Thanks, man. Yeah. It was just little stuff like that, right? Like the water shut off in the closet. You know, we went ahead and ran gas for the stove and for the dryer, even though we know most people, you know, like we didn't put a gas range in the home, but we went ahead and ran, you know, we ran electric and gas hookups in case somebody wants to flip out, you know, swap it for a gas range. We ran gas and electric hookups for a dryer, because who knows what they're bringing in. Right. And, you know, we just figured like, while the walls are open and the trades folks are here, you know, go ahead and have them, let's go the extra mile. Let's set these people up for success. And so it was, the water shut off was a pleasant surprise. Like, we didn't expect that. Our plumber just did it.
That's awesome.
Which is, in my mind, that's how you know you've got the right tradespeople working for you, right?
Yeah.
Because we walked in, we're like, oh, this is awesome. And nobody knew what, everybody was like, even the realtor, they were doing a walkthrough with the girl's dad. He was in town. And she was like, now remind me how this works again. Like, I was like, you cut the one off, you cut the other one on, and then that gives you water at the hose spigot. And she was like, okay. Like, you know, it's like the dots couldn't connect or break. Nobody has that kind of stuff. So.
Right. That's awesome, though. That is so legit. Yeah. We were just like, because we're nerds for this stuff. And so we're just like googly eyeing it. And this is for the Beverly Project. And so anybody who's listening and you just need context, it's all in the show notes. So we're going to link everything so they can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just stunning.
Mm-hmm. But thank you.
So choosing, but like, you know, people I think kind of know how you go about finding it. But if you wanted to talk about that and then like camp out more on all the things.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a real estate agent, but also an investor, right? And so we have a real estate investment company called Flint and Feather Properties. It's myself and another business partner named Josh. And Josh and I grew up together, have been best friends forever. And I was looking to get into flipping, I guess, gosh, back into 2019. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't grow up swinging a hammer. I kind of like learned everything on YouTube University, right? Like just like between YouTube and Pinterest, we just figured it out. And so we had renovated a good bit in our own home, and so wanted to start doing that for other people as well. And so we were looking for houses, and literally Carmen said, "Hey, if you have two options, you can find a house and flip it, or you have to shut up talking about it." Like, I'm not going to continue listen to you talk about how you want to flip a house. Like, either do it or quit talking about it. So that's okay.
He just kept on. And I'm skeptical by nature anyway. And so I was already nervous going into it. And so the more he was just like talking about it and not doing anything, the more my mind was running.
Yes.
Of all the laundry list of things that could go wrong or we're not going to be able to do this, or we're going to lose our own house because we're trying to fund this other house. And so I was just like, either do it or please stop talking about it, because my brain can't handle it.
Yeah.
He talked about it for, I mean, it was too much.
That's a very real problem for, I think, for a lot of investors in general, is just analysis paralysis, right? Yeah. Like you overanalyze. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Business owners, entrepreneurs. I mean, even, you know, I'm sure when you guys started your deal, like, you probably overanalyzed it a little bit, and it caused you to not be able to make a decision, right? So
yeah, him and I'm yeah, yeah. I'm like a fire aim ready, and it's like, and he's over.
You're me, and Carmen is Andrew.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, let's do it, and then, but I've held us back sometimes. Where it's like I was overcorrecting, and so it's like, oh, okay,
yeah.
So we have to get a balance.
Yeah. So, you know, so anyway, I started calling Josh, because Josh is he's a HVAC, he's a mechanical contractor. He and his family run a commercial residential HVAC company, and so I would always call and say, like, hey man, can you help me figure out how old this unit is? Does it need to be replaced? How much would it cost? Whatever. So he finally said, hey, would you ever do this with a partner? I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. Do you have anybody interested? He was like, yeah, me. So. We started looking, and you know, we looked at more properties and analyzed more properties and want more properties. Really, I think than I would care to admit. I mean, we looked for a house for a solid 9 months before we found Beverly. And Josh and I started looking together in April, and we found Beverly Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, I remember, because I was like following. Yeah. I was like one of the outliers that followed very early, yeah. And I remember going on rides with you.
Yeah.
You know, via Instagram. So
yeah. I was not in those rides, because I was like, you ride and do whatever you got to do. I'm not. I don't want to be a part of this.
Call me when you figure. When you figure it out, call me.
Yeah.
So we put some offers in on some stuff, and you know, it's, I think we were a little bit probably timid on the front end, but it was our first one. Right. So we were trying to find like the property.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a couple that just for whatever reason didn't materialize. And then, you know, we were looking on the MLS, and I wasn't a real estate agent at the time. We were looking on the MLS. We were looking on Craigslist. We were looking on Facebook Marketplace.
So scared.
But then Beverly was just kind of like right place, right time. Josh went on a sales call to replace somebody's HVAC.
Oh, wow.
And she mentioned in passing that she had a couple of investment properties she needed to sell. And they were in like Matthews or Mint Hill, or I mean, somewhere like not in Rock Hill.
Right.
And she was like, well, he said, where are they? And she mentioned she had one in Rock Hill. It happened to be this house. We knew the neighborhood because we'd grown up here.
Yeah.
And we knew that, you know, no matter what we ran into, we felt like we could still make money in that neighborhood just because of the caliber of the neighborhood and the location and all that. So, it was pretty extreme. I mean, I don't know if you remember the early on photos and videos and stuff, but it was gutted down to the studs when we bought it.
Yeah.
And,
it was nuts.
It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. But it was kind of honestly a little bit of a relief, because we knew it needed everything. Yeah. Right. So we knew it needed electrical and plumbing and HVAC and drywall and insulation and roof or whatever. The only thing we thought we'd be able to salvage is the floors, and the crawl space was super low. Andrew, I'm sure you're a much smaller guy than I am, but I'm sure you've been in some tight crawl spaces. This one was really extreme, and we had one broken floor joist in the living room that was kind of trampoline-y. And so we said, oh, we'll have to replace a floor joist.
Yeah.
We didn't know that the floor joist was broken because of termites. We didn't know that 90% of the other floor joist and about 75% of the band seal had termite damage. Yeah. So we knew it needed everything except floors, because we couldn't see the floors and it needed floors.
Okay.
So,
yep. Which is a big thing, but yeah.
Yeah, like a $7,500 framing budget turned into about $28,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Real cute. Stuff they don't tell you on those shows, because it's just like you see Joanna Gaines making a phone call and they're like, oh, this terrible thing happened. And they're like, okay, it's fine, just do it. But they don't, there's no money behind that. Yeah. So it's like,
we don't see any of it.
We're just like seeing all, like, and here again, me being like worst case scenario, I'm like, oh God. Like I'm going to sell all of our children's things. It's fine. We'll find the money somehow. Like nobody can go to college. It's okay. We'll just, everything's fine. It's fine. But
I've been there. Like, and I would say, like, honestly, like, in these kind of situations, like, I meant to talk about this on a previous episode, but, like, I think in that case, when you see that house, it's okay to skip the home inspection because you know you're going to redo everything anyway. Yep. And we're like, we always say, like, don't skip the home inspection. But when it comes to these kind of, like, jobs, okay, you don't spend the money. Right. Right.
Didn't put in a repair.
You don't need to spend the extra money on anything because you know going in, even if something that you don't see, just, you know what I mean? So, because I do, I get asked that every now and then. I'm like, you don't need it for every situation except one. And this is the one you don't need it.
Most of the stuff we do, you know, so we just bought another one and we can talk about that, you know, or in the process of buying another one. But we can talk about that later if you guys want to. But, you know, for it, we got a structural inspection. So we had an engineer come out and look at some footings and stuff like that. Just because we felt like there may be some issues. So we wanted to get that checked out. And then, you know, the other time we would do an inspection is like if we're doing what we call like a hotel or like a lipstick flip where we just start coming in and just touching cosmetic stuff, right? So like countertop, paint, flooring, stuff like that.
Right.
We always like to get an inspection just so we know that, you know, the big stuff, electrical, mechanical, plumbing, HVAC, roof, foundation, all that stuff is in good shape. So we're not
that lipstick flip. Go
ahead. We're just dolling it up a little bit.
But that's good. But in situations where it's like just bare, like the way the Beverly project was when you purchased it, it's like, okay, you're just gonna need to do everything, you know. But it, man, that fireplace, I love that fireplace.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We fought really hard. You know, when we were in there, we were like, man, it just eats up so much space.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the house is small, right? It's like just under 1,100 square feet. And this massive, like, diagonal fireplace. And the brick was like, it was solid, but from a facade standpoint, like, it just wasn't great. And we were trying to figure out, do we salvage it? Do we tear it down? It's really expensive to tear down something like that. You know, and I was like, I think we can make this work. Like, let's make it the focal point of the room, do it a little bit different. And I think it turned out really great.
Yeah. Cause when I saw the bare bones, I was like, oh, that's going to be sick if they keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they keep it though, cause I saw it too. And I was like, ugh.
Up in the air for a while. We went back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
Well, with the ceiling open, you can see, you know, and, you know, nobody ever sees it because the walls aren't open, right? I'm sure, Andrew, you see it crawling around in attics and stuff, but like chimneys look really dicey. Like after they get into the ceiling where you can't see them anymore, they look really weird. And it literally looks like it's going to fall over on you. And like, I don't know how that brick is defying gravity right now, but it works and like it's solid. And but yeah, it turned out great.
Yeah, we've seen some things.
Yeah.
Seen some things. It's crazy.
I've seen things, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we saw one literally falling off a house.
Yeah,
it hasn't yet fallen.
Ooh.
Give it a few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I wonder if it has fallen. We should go back and check. But because of this last few storms we've seen. So like, how many hours would you say you've put into the Beverly project? Because I mean, that's the thing I feel gets edited out and people don't put into reality.
Sure.
God.
Yeah. So it depends on who you ask, because for me, everything is like really long hour world because I had two kids and was pregnant at the time. And so everything.
Champion.
They can't. Yeah. He was pointing at me. But everything felt like it took forever, extra forever, because I'm exhausted running around chasing three kids. He still had a full-time job and was also doing this on the side. Yep. So he was working. He was leaving before all of us were awake. He was working until, you know, three or so in the afternoon, and then he would go straight there and do stuff all day or check on stuff or go pick up stuff to deliver it to the guys or whatever. And so, like, I feel like it took 525,000. Like, it was just so, I felt like I never saw him. And we bickered about that a lot because I felt like I was doing everything at home while he was trying to get this done. And it was supposed to be done before she was born, and it wasn't done before she was born. So then he was like trying to rush around and get everything done like within the first 2 weeks of her life. And so it was just, It was absolute chaos.
It was.
Like, we would have been fired from the HGTV show that we were on if we were on it.
It would have been a really good episode.
It just would have been, it would have been the worst.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been the demise of the show. It just would have, I mean, quite honestly. So I don't know that we've actually calculated man hours, but I mean, there were times where he was like there overnight. Like, he would work overnight, come home and sleep for an hour and wake up and go to his real job. So, I mean, it was just, it was,
yeah, that was, we were trying to get it across the finish line. You know, we missed a couple of timelines, which I think, you know, looking back again, this is our first one, right?
Say, so, yeah.
Yeah. So tons of grace for ourselves, but you know, we also were really ambitious with our timelines and our budget and stuff like that. And we didn't miss them that far off, which was really encouraging. You know, even some of our contractors were like, you guys have never done this before. Like, this feels like you've done 100 of these. And we're like, no, we're just,
not at work.
Josh is very process oriented, and you know, we had everything calendared out and Gantt charted out and all that stuff, and we're really doing a great job of managing our subs. You know, we from the beginning made the decision like, hey, we want to run this as a business where, you know, we're not working in the business, we're working on the business, because we want to be able to scale and do multiples of these at a time. And like, if it hinges on me running a saw or swinging a hammer or whatever, then that's gonna, I'm gonna be our lid, right? So, you know, we decided to outsource most everything, which a lot of first time investors try to take it on, right? So they want to go in and spend their Saturday putting trim work in, or they want to go, you know, hey, we'll paint everything ourselves. And it's like, well, we paid our painter $2,500, and it's the best $2,500 we spent. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Your time is money too, like. You know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
exactly. You know, so yeah.
And that's, you know, I had a buddy that's a real estate investor tell me early on, like, hey, you got to decide what your time's worth.
Right.
And you got to figure out how many hours it would take you to do something and how many hours it would take your sub to do it. And if it's cheaper to let them do it, you should pay them.
100%. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Which was like, that was a game changer for my mentality of like, I've laid tile in our own home. It looks okay. It was miserable. I won't ever lay it again because it's just not the best use of my time or my energy. You know,
sheetrock we won't do.
Yeah, dry. Yeah, we won't do drywall work. Carmen is a phenomenal painter. She hates it, but she does really great. Trim work I enjoy, but like, just like, there's some things we just won't do. You know, so for us, it was a lot of, like she was saying, just a lot of checking in during the day. I had a full-time 40-hour week plus job and was doing real estate and was flipping a house at the same time.
And have a family.
Lived to tell about it. So barely.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. The last couple weeks, Josh kind of handles everything up until drywall. So he handles like all the rough in, all the trades.
Nice.
Kind of overseeing that standpoint, materials, stuff like that. And then once we got drywall, I kind of took over and picked finishes and paint colors and managed our subs who were getting all the, you know, getting our flooring in, all that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, literally, I staged the house myself and staged it over. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Staged it overnight, slept for an hour, and went to work at 5 o'clock the next morning. It was miserable.
That's the thing I just like love to hear, though, is the misery, because like, I know that sounds terrible. Yeah. Because like, I mean, like when we started Wilson and Sons, like I knew I would be involved because I'm more entrepreneurial mindset and business mindset. And he, I don't know what we call it. He calls himself boots and I'm brains, but he's brains too. Like I literally can't do most of it, like half of it without him or help me on the business end. You know what I mean? And then it can be a lot. Where it's like, you know, theoretically it's going to be a lot, but you still think you can, you know, I have two small kids and, you know,
we're
active in church and just, I, you know, like you're a mom, you know, all it entails. Like I have the house, you know, like I'm maintaining the house. And during that season when we started Wilson and Sons, I'm like, you're going to have to do the kitchen, man. I can't keep, like, I was just like, you know what I mean?
Something.
Because I'm like, you know, going from stay-at-home mom to this, I was just like, it's just intensive, but I have to remember it's a season. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is not going to be forever. You know, because I have the same thinking, like, all right, well, you know? But I'm like, no, this is going to be good for now because it's going to make us money. And we're building relationships and this is what it's about. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to make our community better in the long run. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's just like, really sucky. So the really sucky season, but like a roller coaster, it's not going to last forever. It's just going to be a roller coaster for now.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a lot of times I'm probably the long distance visionary of the relationship, and Carmen, you know, is like very aware of like what right now looks like.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's beneficial for me to like, hey, this is just a season. Long term, this is where we're headed. Other times, I tend to be a little optimistic, and Carmen's like, yeah, you say that, but you said that 6 months ago, and we're still right here.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot of give and take, you know. But I distinctly remember telling her like, hey, hon, I understand that I'm out of the house every night this week, but we're listing this thing on Friday. So right. If you can give me to Friday and we get it listed,
yeah,
and you know, and have open houses, then like it's going to be under contract.
Yeah. And for people without small children, having daddy not home in the afternoon is a very big deal. So like I totally like feel that, you know. And so it's good though. It's good though that you have each other, because it seems like you really balance each other out. You know what I mean? Like she pulls you back into, here's what's going on, and you can pull her out of like, it's not going to be doomsday forever. The roller coaster ride will end. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I'm more what's happening right now, because I've got kids who need me right now. And so like all I can do is live in right now, or I will, there will be a Carmen shaped hole in the front of our house if I'm going to jump right on out. So I have to live in the right now. I can't live in this, what's going to happen in 6 months or by Friday and it's Monday. Like I have to be like, no, like this is exactly what we're doing today. I'm making it today. I'm going to have to take a nap at 3 p.m. That's that is 100%. I can go in the afternoon. If I'm in the morning, I can think about what I have to do that afternoon. That's about as far as I can go is when it comes to things with them. And with him being so in another realm, I'm like, I need you to be here for just a minute to understand like why I can't live where you live. Like I need you to come down with me, because those hours of 4 to 7:30 when they go to bed is like the worst hours of the day. Like if I can just make it through those 3 hours, it's harder than the rest of the day.
Yeah, we call it unhappy hours.
It's the worst. I don't know what they do from 4 to 7:30, but
they're like different creatures, like gremlins.
It's really weird. I don't get it. And any moms who are listening, or people who are about to be moms or whatever, like solidarity, like I feel you, because it is just, it is. And it's like, once he finally quit his full-time job, once we got the house on the market, and once he was home in the afternoons, he was like, And I was like, literally, you can be gone. You can fly to London if you are home by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't care what you do during the day. I can handle them during the day, but from 4:30, I'll give you to 4:30. 4:30 to 7:30 until they go to sleep. I need you here, because
it's for real.
There's dinners and he's jumping on stuff and she's needing to be fed. And it's just, I don't have the physical capacity to do it.
And so even when we were flipping the house, it would, you know, it was a lot of like, come home, grab Josiah and put him in the truck and go pick materials up.
And that's a huge help.
Yes. Well, and it, you know, and again, like my kids are growing up around this, right? Yeah. Like they understand, like, we're going to the flip house. They like to go to the flip house.
They love it.
They love to go to the hammer store, which is Home Depot.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just growing up around that, because that's what I want them to grow up around, because I want that to be normal for them, because I want that to be their life. Now, whether they are a fix and flipper or not, right? Like, I want them to understand the power of real estate, because, you know, I think it's the most attainable way for the average human to build wealth. And so I want that to be like normal for them, so that they are, you know, that's instilled in them from an early age, so that when they get old enough, they're able to do that themselves.
Yeah. You guys have the most beautiful children. And I say that, I think my children are beautiful too, but I think our children are like same par cute. And I know how that sounds to the people listening. I have absurdly beautiful children, and so do they. So like, they're just gorgeous. They're so sweet. They're just so beautiful. But 100%, like when able, and Andrew's probably gonna hate me for sharing this, but like if he has to go pick up a radon test and the house is like empty and no one that lives there, he'll take David. And David like enters the door, like, hello, home inspector. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
he
not, not home inspector.
Yeah. And like, he loves it. And so I heard him earlier, yesterday morning. I think you were going somewhere and he was like, Dad, next time you have a really safe home inspection, I want to go with you. I know the other ones are dangerous and I can't go, because I tell him, like, you're not really not allowed legally, but but when it's vacant, he's like, when it's safe, can I please come?
Insurance, if you're listening, they do not take their child on home inspection.
No, we don't. Right. Just to the radon pickup, if it's evacuated.
Or to FedEx.
Or the FedEx. He loves dropping off the testing at FedEx.
Yes.
But he, like, you know, it just gives them that sense of dignity and pride, and like that's what work is, you know what I mean? Yes. And like, for them to see that is like one of the biggest gifts, and teaching them how to handle money, I think.
Yeah. And Josiah, so Josiah's our 3-year-old, and he has a puzzle that's like wooden tools, and he'll put them in his dump truck and say that he's going to work at the flip house, and he'll go and like take the hammer and like hammer on the wall, like, because I told him there's certain walls that he can hammer. Yeah. So he'll like hammer on the wall or whatever, or he'll like hammer on the floor, and he'll say, I'm going to work, I love you, and then he'll like come back and give me a big old kiss and say he's home. And so I mean, it's like normal for him, because it's just what he's.
I'll never forget, we were watching Team Umizoomi and Charlotte was like 4 years old, and they were like, this is a wrench, and she was like, that's not a wrench, that's a drill, and I was like, it is a drill. You're right. This is working.
Indoctrination at its finest.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh, I gotta move this because I want to see the baby. There we go. Sorry, our picture was in the way.
We're gonna be one of those podcasts that talk for a long time.
And no, it's cool. I love it.
You can either edit it out or give the people what they want.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah. We've had one as short as 10 minutes because Andrew and I were covering a topic. It was just the two of us. It was like, well, we've pretty much, we don't want to put people to sleep. I'm like, this is pretty much unpacked. All right. Well, have a great week, guys.
That's it. The end.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. I just want to, you know, honor people's time. But yeah, no, this is great. So you guys outsource, which is a huge thing, to quality workers. Because like the electricians, like if anybody... to follow Flint and Feather Properties on Instagram. Are you on any other platforms?
We're on Facebook as well, yeah.
Man, because like, okay, so like for tradespeople to go on and see, because electrician type stuff, electric stuff, I totally nerd out on that. And so when you give the walkthrough, it's like, okay, that's one, somebody who's confident, not stupid, because you get a lot of stupid on the socials, But like knowing this kind of stuff, like, wow, that stuff really looks good, to get to see behind the walls before you had put them up. I'm like, that electrical work is so neat.
It's clean, yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was huge. And that was, again, I think that's part of the reason we picked our trades guys. Because, you know, number one, we know they do quality work. And again, like you said, it's easy to put drywall and paint over stuff and like never look at it again. And it can look like crap. But we employ guys who really care about their craft, you know? And so, like you said, it's just the confidence of being able to walk through and knowing like, hey, we're putting this on social. This is, you know, there's nothing illegal with the city. Like this, we're not going to get dinged by permitting for that, you know, whatever, because like, we just know our guys do a good job and do it the right way. And we're not cutting corners behind the walls where you can't see it.
But cutting corners cost money. Cutting corners costs money.
Yep.
Not obviously that
cutting
makes
corners sense. cuts the buyer money.
Right. And money. Yeah. Right. And yeah. So not cutting corners costs money for us. Mm-hmm. Because even things that we had budgeted for, the amount changed from January to April when we were actually getting it done, just because of the skyrocketing prices of everything material, that's going on right now.
For sure.
And so it's like we had quotes done in January and they changed by thousands of dollars sometimes by the time we needed the work done, which was just kind of like another punch in the gut. Also something you don't see on TV, which I don't, maybe that does happen. I'm sure it has happened in the past where 100%. It's like they get something quoted and then because it was done on day 60 instead of day 30, then it's twice the price.
Yeah.
Which just kills your budget when that happens for multiple things. It happened with electrical. It happened with obviously the framing and that situation. Lumber. It was nuts. And it wasn't their fault. Like, and you know, they were like, we're so sorry. Like they felt so bad, but it's like, it is what it is. Right. Like you can't.
You're not being a crook. This is like a little thing.
Right. Yeah. And we, you know, I think we if given the choice and we're not sure which way to go, I think we're going to tend to overbuild something, right? So like our entire house was wired on 12-2 wire with 20 amp plug, you know, outlets, and that may be overkill, may not, right? Like our, like even all of our lights were on 12 gauge wire, and code says 14, right? So 14 cheaper, and you're not ever really going to need 12 gauge because of all the LED fixtures that everybody uses now. Right. But you know, for us, I mean, our electrician on this project was old school. And he was like, "Hey, I love you guys to death. I'm not going to do that. Like, this is how I wire. This is how it's worked for me forever. This is how I can lay my head down at night." And I was like, "Hey, man, I appreciate the conviction. Let's do it." You know, so, you know, so just making decisions like that, I think, again, we had some really great quality guys who, you know, who cared just as much as we did. And we, again, we're trying to make our hometown better. We're trying to make the homes that we work on better. We're trying to make our trades guys better, right? So I'm a big leadership development guy. We're trying to help, you know, grow our guys into better business folks too, right? Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, getting on our framing contractor about cleaning up behind himself. And it's like, hey, dude, we're not trying to get on you about, you know, about cleaning up after yourself, because we, like, it's not the trash, like, it's just going the extra mile to leave your job site.
Because that's commonplace in this field.
Yeah, right. Like, so it's like, hey, man, like mm-hmm. right. And so it's like, hey, man, like, this is the kind of job site we're going to run. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know where you worked before. I don't know if they were cool with you leaving stuff out. But, like, we need you to clean up because this is a reflection of our brand. And it's an ultimate reflection of your work as well. And he was like, okay, cool. And then we didn't have another issue.
That's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's those little things. You do a bunch of little things. Over time, it sets you apart, like, it sets you so far apart from anybody else, you know? And, like, we talk about a lot how, like, we don't believe in competition, like, because the market is so saturated, you have the privilege of choosing who you work with.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no need to compete because you work with who you want to work with.
Yeah.
But people start wanting to work with you and can trust, like, oh, it's a Flynn Feather property. We're good. You know, we're good.
And that's the goal, right? It's like, as we build a brand out, like, we want people, my dream is to have people lined up waiting to buy our houses because they know that we do a good house.
Yes. They're not going to buy a house like us, but we knew because of the engineer that came in and, like, you know what I mean? Like, because Andrew was Andrew and, you know, I was in an ignorant world, you know, I was just like, oh, screw it all. Cause I, you know, I don't feel anything for a home. Like, I really, really wanted it. It was everything I prayed for. But if this is going to cost me and, you know, once I purchase it, I don't care how much I'm getting off the price tag. Like, I don't want to spend that, you know, and I have kids. I don't want the people coming in. But it was all rectified before we signed the papers. So it was fine. Yeah. But so I just love that. The quality and the time and, like, literally the energy you guys put in. And this was your first one, so it's just gonna get better.
We learned so much. I tell everybody, like, even the floor joist thing, right? Like, that wasn't extra money that we went over our budget. That was tuition, right? So we paid to learn to never assume that a crawl space is good ever again.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a really hard lesson to pay for, but, like, I won't ever buy a house without somebody looking at the crawl space ever again. I learned it. It's tuition money, and now we have learned a valuable lesson that is going to pay us back tenfold in the future.
Yeah,
that's good. I want to talk about that a little bit because, you know, maybe some advice on budgeting for a flip, you know, now that you learned about that, because for me, from what I've seen, that's where, like, the crawl space, especially in older houses, that's where you're going to see yourself go over budget. Like, if you haven't made that consideration, I did one recently for an investor and, you know, he told me I have this much, you know, in the budget that I'm thinking of. And when I went down into the crawl space and I saw the termite damage, and the broken floor joist, because it can't hold anymore because it's all mulch.
Right.
Like, I looked at that and, you know, I'm not giving him numbers because it's not really my place to do that. But in my head, I've seen the bill for what it costs to repair this. I'm going, his budget's going to be met just here.
Just the foundation. Yeah.
And so, like, what advice would you give, you know, for somebody who's starting out, in terms of in terms of how to budget properly for the unseen?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I think, you know, it depends on your market a little bit, right? So, like, I'm certainly, you know, not everybody who's listening to this is going to be flipping in the greater Charlotte area, right? But right.
During this season of
during this season.
This is like...
Hey, if you're in 2040 and listening to this, congrats, you made it. No, you know, I think I had a guy tell me that he is going to factor in 10K on every crawl space moving forward. Like, he's just going to, like, it's he's going to budget 10K. Yeah, I think it's really wise. Yeah. You know, the one that we are under contract on, you know, we're budgeting 5 only because I had an engineer crawl it and he knows what's up, you know. But, you know, I think that's a good one. There's some other guys that are doing a really great job in Charlotte. And, you know, and they just said, we basically just like every house we buy, we think it's going to take 100, which is like a lot. $100,000 is a lot of money to put in a house.
Yeah.
But they take everything down to the studs and redo it correctly, you know.
That's awesome.
And so they've gotten some guys called Dapper Development. You should follow them on Instagram. They're awesome. But they've gotten to where they just they know they're going to pull everything. They're going to pull the drywall. They're going to rewire where necessary. They're going to replumb. You know, that's just their number, and it works for them. And you know, and so I think it just, you know, it depends on the house. But I think, like you said, you've got to have some contingency built in, because inevitably you're going to, not even you're going to miss something. Something is going to pop its head up when you least expect it. Right. So anytime you start opening walls and moving stuff around and all that, you're just, it's a snowball effect, right? I mean, you know this, Andrew, because I'm sure you see it all the time, right? But, you know, you want to pull a load-bearing wall out and put a LVL beam in, and then when you do that, you got to move electrical, and then when you go to move electrical, you got to move this plumbing stack to get around it, and, you know, and it's just like one thing after another, and it's like, oh, well, we budgeted $2,500 for the LVL, but we didn't budget the other $5,000 for everything else.
Right.
You know, so you got to have some contingency built in. We try to do a 10% contingency on our rehab budget.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point about the crawl space, because yeah, especially people that are coming from other parts of the country to here, and maybe they don't have experience with crawl spaces, you know, like out in Arizona or something, they come here and
it's all slab there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you gotta have a vapor barrier. Gotta make sure your floor joist and your band seal is good. You may have to put some piers in.
Yeah. And we people have very creative ways of fixing those. When you know, they own the house and they just,
yeah.
I saw one with stacked rocks the other day.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yes, stacked slate, rocks in there. Like yeah. It's cattywampus and yeah. It's just like, oh my god. Yeah, it's crazy.
These old houses, man, they're incredible, but they're a headache, right? Like
they are, you know, so beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
And my god.
Yeah.
There's just everything possibly wrong.
Yeah, we I'm gonna put a video out about this soon, but we had somebody who wanted to buy Beverly right when we first bought it. They wanted to buy it and bulldoze it and build a new construction on the lot because that neighborhood was so desirable, and we were gonna make really good money, and we were like trying to figure out what we should do, and Miss Conviction over here was like, well, you told me you started this company because you wanted to breathe new life into old houses, and sell an old house, somebody's going to bulldoze it and build new construction on it. Doesn't really sound like your vision. I was like, oh, crap. So
shouldn't have told me your vision
then.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yeah, no, good for you. Good for you saying something.
Because the charm of the old house is incredible, right?
Yes. Like,
Beverly leans very modern to me. Mm-hmm. But even with all the modern updates we do on the inside, it
you
still feels
it.
Like a little bungalow, you
know?
You
and can see the bungalow.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so glad you kept the fireplace, because I'm like, yeah. That weird stuff old houses did, like
quirky.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I love about our homes. Like, that's what I love about this home, because it's just that it's just so quirky. That's a good way to put it. And I like, I'm very eccentric, and so I love like little nooks and crannies. I know, right? Yeah.
Like our fold up ironing board that's built into the wall.
It's got a red pinstripe.
Yes.
But I put a red pinstripe going down it, and then I put like cheetah print. I like refabriced it. Thing is legit. But you know, I love that thing. But I mean, I saw there's this house in Plaza Midwood that is not getting sold. It's a nice little bungalow, but nobody wants to touch it because it was built in 1925 or 28. Uh-huh. And just think of the electrical stuff, because it hasn't been updated.
Yeah.
You know, and or even over here on downtown Concord, Union Street Strip are multi-million-dollar homes that have, they didn't cost that when the people have them and they've been handed down. And like the really old person, like the, they just don't keep up with it. You know what I mean? And like, it's just dying, you know, and it's just like, I wish like somebody came in and like, well, we, you know,
some of them are.
We're meeting people that we're going to partner with and like get them in there and help them like do the inspecting and everything. And just to make those old homes come to life, because they're just, the architecture is stunning, you know?
They really don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't. Really don't. Like solid wood, you know, like not pressed wood, but like solid beams. Go,
true 2-inch by 4-inch, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Actually 2x4.
Just gorgeous.
It, you mentioned one other thing a while back that I think is really important for people doing flips, because I see this not done a lot because of the cost, and that's permitting.
Permit's huge.
And it's something that I learned to, if I've got a client who is, I had a guy that was texting me back and forth because he had a deal fall through or whatever. And he was asking me, he was taking pictures of things. I'm like, you know, that looks cool what they did there, but I'd recommend you make sure they had a permit pulled. And sure enough, you know, he would look at it, and him and his agent found there was no permits. And so that he moved on from that. And so it's, I think it's really great that you guys do that, because it's such an important step.
It's huge.
You know, not just from a legal standpoint, but also for safety, you know?
I had a long conversation with an appraiser, and he was saying how having the permits pulled, like, and having, like, having them helps him determine the increase in value of the home. Because it's like, oh, here's actual evidence that they did it the right way.
No, 100%. And you know, we were able to, our general contractor was able to, like, sign off on some stuff that, that even, you know, the home inspector that the buyers chose to walk the property, they were like, ah, I don't know about this deck, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever. And the contractor was able to, like, sign off, like, hey, this was built to code, you know, you know, we've looked at it and evaluated this, everything's good. And so, like, even having that for, you know, for us, again, I'm pretty handy. Josh knows a good bit about trades, but we're not experts, right? And so for us to go in, you know, we didn't want to take any risk of endangering somebody or doing something the wrong way. But it was less about the, even the resale value for us, and just more about, like, we wanted to be able to put our heads in tonight and be able to, like, know that these folks were getting a solid house. So that was ultimately, you know, we got everything permitted, got a GC involved, because we wanted to make sure we're giving folks a good product.
I have a post planned about, like, basically a post-mortem about the whole thing, because obviously, like, I blogged about it the whole way through. We actually gave, which you don't have to put this in, but we gave the owners a private website link that lives on the website, but nobody knows the link exists except for them.
Nice.
So it is a resource for them with every single paint color, the finish, everything we used, all
like sources for everything.
So all the links are clickable. So like if their light bulb, if their chandelier, which it won't, but if it falls out of the ceiling and they want to replace it with that exact same chandelier,
there's a link to it
and they can go directly to it and buy it. They know exactly where it came from, exactly how much it cost. I spent an absurd amount of time creating that because I just wanted them to have this one source where they can go and all their stuff is there so they can have that. So I have that, but I'm also, so I've blogged about it, obviously, the whole interior, but he and I are going to work on a post, like, things you want to know before you do it, what we learned, what we would do again, what we wouldn't do, what we wouldn't do again, that kind of thing. So I don't know when this will air, but if you wanted to, like, link that in the show notes, you totally
could. We'll go back
and
update it
like,
when it does release.
Here's a...
Then we'll just release a podcast. I super appreciate what you guys do, because... That's what people need to like love where they're from and then invest back into. I just appreciate how you're going about it because you're not just in it for the money and that's very evident. Like you're in it to increase the economy of Rock Hill, the local economy. And that's just the bigger picture, you know, it's going to help your children's children's children. And like, you know what I mean? It's just really cool.